It is Christine Conti.
And I'm Brian Prendergast.
And we are two fit crazies.
And the microphone.
We are where it's at. Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing well. It is where it's at today. Yeah. We're flexing
Todd,
over here.
Todd, how you doing?
I'm doing great listening to this banter. I like it. I'm back in Jersey. How can I not like it?
Hey, Todd, do you know what's in Canton, Ohio?
Do I know what's in Canton, Ohio?
Todd, do you know what's in Canton, Ohio?
There's only one thing in Canton, Ohio. One. That's it.
It's your friend Tim.
Yeah.
Walsh College.
No doubt, baby. It's my man, TC.
Does everyone know the Football Hall of Fame is in Canton, Ohio?
Forget Canton, Ohio, Christine. What's in Brick, New Jersey?
Oh, is it Todd Durkin?
Todd Durkin's in Brick, New Jersey.
Is that who it is?
Yeah.
Let's go.
We left the door open and he just wandered into our studio again.
Yeah. I love coming back here. Every time I come home, I just come to the studio.
That's right.
All right, everyone.
Grinding in the dojo over here.
A couple days ago, I get a text and it's like, hey, Christine, I'm going to be on the Jersey Shore.
Why do you always make that like, they imitate me?
It's
like,
not even that. No, Christine, it's, hey, Christine, yeah. I'm going to be at the Jersey Shore. I'm coming back in. I'm going to hit up Moe's Bakery. I'm going to go get a pork roll and cheese. I'm going to get some pizza, and I'm going to stop by the dojo. We're going to do a recording studio. Yeah, Two Fit Crazy in the microphone.
Oh, I'm sorry, Todd. Did you want to talk today on
no,
the show?
No, I didn't. I wanted to listen to that imitation again. I think it's pretty funny.
Yeah, we'll just, the part of Todd Durkin will now be played by Christine Conti and Brian.
I like that.
Tag team.
I like that. I want to hear your answers to me. I want to hear you have to say as if you were me. That's good.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah. So, we got a little Todd Durkin in the house from the West Coast back to the East Coast, back home.
I'm an East Coast guy.
Back home to home. Brick, New Jersey.
Home, baby.
It Woo. Feels great to be home.
What the hell are you doing here, Todd?
I don't know. I don't know. Life's a whirlwind right now. I don't even know. I literally, I came in from, my daughter had a lacrosse tournament in Maryland this past weekend. And we were there over the weekend. Monday we had a camp at Villanova outside Pennsylvania. And then as I crossed the line, it said, welcome to New Jersey. It just felt good. It felt good. I told
land
my wife,
of milk
I'm like,
and honey.
Man, it's good to be home. And I've been here all week. We got a book signing as we record this. We have a book signing tonight. And then she has another lacrosse tournament this coming weekend. And in between the lacrosse tournaments, I'm relaxing, chilling, and seeing a bunch of people I know. It's been awesome.
It's good to come home, man. Always, you know. Always. So you make your home in San Diego now, right? And how long you been out there? I mean, how long you been away from New Jersey, really?
Well, I was just meditating on it yesterday morning. Literally, I watched the sunrise from One Mount Street in Bayhead. That's where my life changed in 1996. I met a guy named Michael King. Michael King owned King World Productions. They produce Oprah Winfrey, Wheel of Fortune, and Jeopardy. I started training Michael in 96, and less than a year later, he was bicoastal. So he brought me out to Malibu, and I was training Michael King and all of his entourage of people at King World. And again, he had just produced and distributed Oprah Winfrey. And that's what brought me out there in 96. I've been out there ever since.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So
I didn't realize you met him here.
One Mound Street. For my
yeah.
life. I had just blown out my back playing professional football. I had no idea what I was going to do with my life, literally. I was like, I had my degree. I had massage therapy certification. I had a personal training certification. I was considering teaching and coaching. Uh-huh. Had opportunities here at Brick High School, a couple other schools up in North Jersey. And I just, there was something that was like, just I wasn't ready to, quote, settle down. There was mm-hmm. something else. I was 25, but I was like, man, I'm not done playing football. I want to go do something. And I went and played over football, and then when I got hurt, I was like, man, I gotta just ride this journey, and that's how it all happened. Yeah.
What a journey it has been, man.
And thank goodness, right? Thank goodness, because you know, you've done all right. You've done all right. You've made some impact on some people, and
it is interesting because it's been an unbelievable, I'll say, 25-year ride. But I'm really excited about the next season as well, because being out in San Diego, now San Diego, because I was in Los Angeles in Malibu with the King World team, about a year into that, I knew that being a Jersey guy that L.A. wasn't my scene. I just wasn't. And I have a lot of friends up there, but it just wasn't me. It just, I don't know if you've ever been a place in your life where things are good, but you know there's this intuition inside of you, like this isn't where I'm supposed to be. And let me tell you, living in Malibu, in the colony, Malibu Colony is where all of the A-list actors, actresses, producers live. I was living in there because I was living at Sting's beach house. not the wrestler Sting, the singer Sting. So I'm living at Sting's beach house, and Rob Reiner's on one side, and Tom Hanks is the neighbor on my next. And I honestly, I was like, this is crazy. And all my buddies back who working on Wall Street were like, you're kidding me, you're living. I'm like, I hate it.
Yeah.
This isn't where this isn't me. It's not me. So less than a year later, I moved, and my beat up old car, Volvo, 1987 Volvo, yes, would have never made it back to the East Coast. So I'm like, I'm going to go hide it at grad school for 2 years and figure life out. And I met my future wife on day one there. And when I finished grad school in 99, I opened up my gym in year 2000, and the rest is history.
Ah, intuition, man. Where does it come from?
For me, it's the spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, man, working at intuition. You got to tap into that. You got to listen to it. Everyone's got it. You got to learn how to tap into it and be obedient to it and respect it, because it's a real thing. It's a wise thing, and when you can listen and tap into your intuition, there's a lot of wisdom there.
So weird. I also met my husband on my first day of grad school. We got a lot of weird similarities.
Wow.
Like, really bizarre. I know. Hmm. The more I'll read, the more I hear about Todd, the more I'm like, God, like, wow, that was, we also, oh, that too.
It's
huh?
a brick thing. It's a brick
it's
thing.
It's very weird. For everyone that did not, you know, has not heard already, this is not Todd's first time with the Two Fit Crazy.
So, that's right.
We got his whole backstory on other episodes and whatnot. So you have to hear those, especially because the whole connection, this is kind of fun, is when I was teaching, this mm-hmm. was, it's almost been 20 years mm. since I heard your name. Mm. And the first time I heard it was when I started teaching at Brick Township High School. That's and right. I walk in and your former football players, friends from high school, who were then my coworkers and the principal and
all the admins. Yeah, yeah,
the
that's
admins
right.
Like,
they huddled up.
And, but this was it,
they
though.
Told me.
It was, Christine, you know Todd? I'm like, first of all, no last name, right? Christine, you know Todd? He's like pretty big deal in fitness. He does like fitness stuff like you. I'm like, what in the hell is what? First of all, who's Todd? Second, what the hell is fitness stuff?
Yeah, it's
fitness
funny.
Stuff that's like funny. You. I'm like, no, I don't. And he went here and he's like, you know, does fitness stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is the first time I ever heard of Todd. And it's just
so
been,
you were late to the game, because I knew him from the pages of the Asbury Park Press back
not,
in the day.
But originally I wasn't a brick girl, you know? So that's where our love started.
The stalking began.
That's where the love story began. You know,
he had some intuition. Like, man, I don't know. It doesn't feel right.
That's where our fitness stuff.
Our fitness love.
Fitness stuff. I will never forget that. He does fitness stuff like you. I'm like, I don't know how to take that or what that means.
Fitness stuff.
Yeah. So I'm really proud of you and your fitness stuff.
Thank you. The fitness stuff has been good.
It's been pretty good.
Good stuff.
Yeah, that was sarcasm earlier when I said you've done pretty okay with things, you know?
Yeah, not bad.
Life is good.
Oh, man.
It's good.
What book number are we on now?
Five.
Five books. Five books. Woo!
Five books.
And still not running out of any sort of content. Pretty crazy. Mm.
Well, this last one's crazy. Last one's crazy. I mean, definitely is crazy. I didn't have this one in me 3.5 years ago, but life throws curveballs, and this one is a different one. And it's it was never my intention to write this book, but life happens.
All right, you're on the hot seat now. Hot seat, okay?
All right,
hot seat.
Two Fit Crazy hot seat.
Two Fit Crazy hot seat. It's time. You're up here. You're going to talk tonight about your new book, just dropped, True Strength, and why'd you write this?
I wrote it for three reasons. Number one, because there's a lot of people who are hurting these days that need hope. and they need motivation and inspiration at a deeper level than just fitness. And it all starts with fitness and faith, but what I went through is going to speak to those people. The second reason I wrote it is because I needed to do it personally for my own healing, because the 3.5 year window I went through was hell. And I start the book with the crest of the wave determines the depth of the valley, and the depth of the valley determines the crest of the wave. And I had a lot of crests in my 25-year career. This was the lowest valley since year 1992, when my father passed away. This was the longest valley of my life, lasting 3.5 years. So I wrote it for my own healing, because I know that what I went through is going to help a lot of people. But I needed to put it on paper because I needed to move on to the next step using that. I often say your biggest burdens sometimes become your biggest blessings. The burdens I went through right now are blessing me in ways that I couldn't imagine. I would have never 3.5 years ago ever thought what I'm doing now would be happening. And it is, because of what I went through. And the third thing is, this goes back to being Jersey. There's a giving back component to the book that I'm big into. My Impact Foundation, 2012, Hurricane Sandy crushed the shore. If you're from New Jersey, you know that. But I was in San Diego. I have 5 sisters, and 3 of them are still here on the shore. And I have a lot of friends and folks who were devastated. And I'm sitting out there, couldn't even get a hold of them on the phone. I'm like, man, what am I going to do? And that was then that I got a light that went off. Is like, start your foundation and give back. And I started in 2012 my Impact Foundation, and since then we have raised over $375,000 and given 100% of that money back. Every year we scholarship student athletes from Brick High School, Scripps Ranch High School in San Diego, and at-large students nationwide. And the last 3.5 years, we don't only do that, we also now are part of this book is going to suicide prevention and mental health. And I'm really excited about that. Like that stuff is real. And I had 2 athletes during the pandemic, athletes that I coached, commit suicide. And I take onus of that. Like how could I as a coach not see this stuff? So I'm like, I'm not holding back anymore. So the third reason is so that we can raise money and give 100% of that money back to help, you know, not only student athletes and kids, but also moms and dads. People are popping themselves all over the place. Every day my DM is full of someone who listened to a podcast like this or my podcast or read a book, something, and that gave them hope to get through to a brighter day, knowing that their burdens become their blessings, but it's hard to get through the deep, dark valleys of life. That's why I wrote the book. And that's why I wrote it in 7 months, because normally you don't write a book in 7 months. I have a lot going on right now. I'm like, it became a mission. It had to come out by July, and it did.
How scared were you to share some of that?
Hey.
And I mentioned this to you, as a fellow author, there's this kind of opening the curtain that sometimes you have to be prepared. And I know that you're in this right now. And yeah. How are you feeling right now, knowing that this is coming out, or
you know, this is kind of deep, but I'm really at peace with it.
Okay.
I'm at peace with it because it's who I am. It's hard when you get more successful and you start building an identity based on really a step removed of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that it's you, but people look at you as someone who you're not. And that's dangerous. What I love about True Strength is this is who I am. Like, this is me. And people in their own heads build up people, athletes all the time. I work with all these athletes. They build them up like they're these perfect dudes that have no problems. They make millions of dollars. And it's the furthest thing from the truth. They're real people that have problems like everybody else. And for me, it was really scary. But I'm at peace with it because for me, there's as much divine wisdom in here that I have been imparted by that. Part of my mission is I got to share this. This is not just me. This is, you know, my faith walk is I need to share what happened and why, because I see the other side of what people are doing and what people are thinking and how the world right now is full of darkness. I'm like, there's so many people that are walking around like zombies that aren't living life. They're not living. They're not exercising. They're eating like crap. They're not taking care of themselves. Their minds aren't right. Like, I know it 100% what that's like, because I'm a fitness stuff guy. Right? I'm a fitness dude. But I was walking that way of like, when you're physically in pain, like jacked up pain where you need a 14-hour surgery on your back, your mind doesn't go to the right place. Mm. And you start eating like garbage, because when you can't exercise, you can't even hold 5-pound dumbbells in your hands because it's too much back pain. You can't sleep. And you got a bunch of stuff going on in your business. You're like, I'm out of here. I can't do this anymore. And you build resentment toward what you built. Like, there's some deep, deep emotional complexity to all this that, like, here I am, quote, on the outside, successful. And on the inside, I'm like, what the heck is going on? So for me, I got really deep in my faith, walking like, God, I'm wherever you want me to go, I'm fair game. Take me wherever you want. But this is your plan. I'm open. And that's why I have peace about it, because like, it's just who I am. This is who I really am.
It's, you know, writing a book like this, I imagine, is like reliving it again, right? It's got to be a tough thing to do. You know, you put some of these things in the rear view, and like Christine always says, sometimes looking back fucks with your neck, you know? Mm. You know, so what was that like? I mean, what was it like reliving it?
Dirty.
Yeah.
Ugly.
And let me ask you this. Was any of it like, did you find that you were in a little bit deeper at that time than you really knew, like knowing now in hindsight, how, like, was it worse than you thought it was? Was it as bad, or, you know, were you really just, you know, or just about remembering it all?
I wouldn't say it was worse than I remember, because being in it, I knew I was in a bad place, physically, bad place. And when you're physically in pain, you mentally, you get weak. I just came out with my third book, Get Your Mind Right, in 2020.
Right.
Get Your Mind Right.
Right.
That's me. I'm the Mr. Get Your Mind Right guy. And guess what? Now all of a sudden my mind's not right.
Mm.
I'm like, wait, this is an oxymoron. Everyone knows me as the Mind Right guy. And here I am I'm launching my book. I'm like, my mind and my body are going downhill. And a year later, I'm like, holy Jesus. I got to read my own book.
Yeah.
I got to read, you know? So that was me. And then to relive it, being on the other side now, and there's an ending to all of it in some ways, which we could talk about later. But I'll say this is, when I started reliving this in December of 2023, I needed to bring someone on that could help me write this, because it became so emotional that when I brought only one person on that I knew could help me write this book, a man who used to work for me at Todderkin Enterprises, he left because he wanted to become a full-time author before the pandemic. And he flew out from South Carolina, and we sat down for 4 days, and I went through everything. I have never cried like that. It was like therapy.
Uh-huh.
4 days. I must have cried 25 times a day, and I'm not even exaggerating. And I'm not, when I say cried, I'm talking shut the door. I'm weeping like a baby.
Uh-huh.
Like the pain emotionally, and like to relive it. The first night he was there, I was so exhausted, I went home and slept for 11 hours.
Wow.
11. 11. I haven't slept 11 hours. Honestly, I don't even know. Like, I don't sleep. I'm lucky if I get 7. I'm lucky if I get 7. I'm not bragging about that, by the way. I don't sleep very long. I slept 11 hours like a baby. And that was like, oh my gosh. That was the start of, like, almost a cathartic emotional release of getting it out and putting it on paper and working deeply on that of, I'm going to use this story as a way to reach people that I never thought I could reach, because if I don't, people are going to keep popping themselves. They're going to live in a real depressed state like I was. And I'm not a depressed guy, but I was in a very depressive part of my life. Like, it was dark. And it was dark, and I didn't know how I was going to get out of it. I felt trapped. I was empty, lost, broken, exhausted, burnt out, burnt to a crisp, burnt, like ready to go to the mountains and call it a day, like, peace, I'm out. Like, I don't need to work anymore. I'm cool. And it was a lot of soul searching. I had some really good people around me. And it also, interesting enough, became a very prolific time of content creation, because I was trying to heal my own pain. It's, you know, they always said, like, if when you're in pain, you either serve the person you used to be, right, or you serve your pain.
Right? Yeah.
So it's like I was doing both, because I was helping the fit pro who's looking to get to another level, and I was trying to, like, recreate myself and reinvent myself. And the whole time I'm like, I'm putting out God-sized dreams coaching programs and a new journal, because I was starting to journal at night. So all journals are for the morning. So I created my impact journal, which had evening journaling. And I had like 7 different products come out. Be like, man, you're on fire. And deep down, I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm trying to, like, save myself.
Right. You're digging yourself out. Yeah.
It's therapy for me to actually create content. I like creating content. My podcasts were, like, on fire, because I'm coming from a very emotional state. And it's interesting when you look back, because on the outside world, people are like, man, you're on fire. I'm like, yeah, I was on fire on the inside, about to blow up, right? So just because you're in pain doesn't mean you can't create great, prolific content. Look at some of the best artists in the world. A lot of times they're depressed, and they're creating these songs and artwork that's like an expression of who they are. And to me, I look back now, it's like very interesting, because on the outside world, I can see how people think, man, you created all this stuff. You had 2 books during the pandemic in the middle of all this. I'm writing and I'm journaling and I'm doing everything, coaching. And I was, like, in a bad place physically and mentally.
I hope that everybody is hearing this, because sometimes we look and we glorify and we, you know, look at people and they're like, oh, they're godlike and they're this. And, you know, I've said this to you before, that you give. Like, your ball of energy and impact this. Bomb, I'm going to make all these changes.
Come on, right.
It's 100,000, million, quadrillion people now. I'm going to. But there's a breaking point for that. And I think that what's really important, like you just said, was that you were giving, you were going, you were this, you were that. And you were really suffering inside. For a certain amount of time, that, you know, you weren't giving it a voice, right? You were creative, and but you weren't giving yourself a voice and really saying, hey, listen, I do need to overcome some demons, and I need to take care of myself. And I think it's important for all of us to hear that, even if someone's looking up to you as a motivator, as a speaker, that it's okay for them to say, hey, you know what? Not every day I'm going to be on. And it's okay.
It's hard.
Because it's really hard.
Yeah.
So, I talk to Christine about that all the time. I said, you better wind down. You know, you got to take some time for yourself. Yeah, you know, because she's on. She's like you, you know, like, you guys are wild. And it's awesome because, you know, and cameras are on and it's upfront, live, personal. But, you know, at the same rate, it's like, man, take care of yourself, you know?
Yeah. And I would say this, like, that's who I am.
Sure.
Like, that's my soul.
Sure.
But, like, so that's who I am. Like, I find the most fulfillment when I'm motivating. When I'm in front of a crowd and I'm motivating people and making people feel like they can run through a wall. That's really, like, who I am.
Of course. That...
It's not so much that is what got me in trouble. But I would say during the beginning of the pandemic, I told our industry, get on my back, get on my back, get on my back. Put the weight of the world on my back. And I literally and figuratively took that stress pressure on, and it contributed to eventually my back broke. Physically, my back broke. If you see a picture of my back, you're like, how is that possible?
It's insane, everybody. It's
not,
insane.
It's not possible. Like, you, I mean that, like, I look at my back now as it's not me. It's outside of me, but that's my back. And I look at that now as a huge blessing. Like, that was God to me. I was broken for him to get me to a place that I wouldn't have gotten to. I wouldn't have made the moves that I'm making now and have made in the last 6 to 9 months without having gone through what I went through. I wouldn't have. Mm-hmm. Life was too good. I know what I was getting. I know how much I was making. I know what I was doing. And I did not want to live that way for 10 more years in my 50s all the way through and just keep living. I was like, there's something more that I don't know how to tap into, but I can't. It's like a trapeze bar. I'm on trapeze bar here. I want to get to here, but I don't want to let go. So I'm stuck.
Yeah,
I'm
faith.
Stuck. I'm boom. Yeah. I don't want to swing. So I'm stuck in these trapeze bars, and here I am. And I make the analogy in the book of that trapeze bar. And for me, it really is like I was broken, not because of who I am, but I was broken, and because of who I am is going to get me to where I'm going to go.
I love that thing. And I hope that this is important, because some of us feel that there's something more.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't exactly know how to verbalize it, but we know it's there.
Mm.
And I do think that those of us who give that a voice, right, who listen, who are like, hey, listen, I, you know, again, all the careers and the changes and whatnot, you know, even when I was teaching, there was something else and I didn't know what it was I was supposed to do until I stepped away and was like, this is scary. This is frightening. What am I doing? And everyone doubts you and you're like, I don't really know what it is, but, and you take that leap of faith because you have faith of some sort, right? Mm-hmm. And then you surround yourself with other people that have faith and have hope and, you know, have been through things. Like you say, you need to surround yourself with the right type of people. That's, I think once you, like you said, once you feel and you listen to that, there's something greater, like you did when you were living in Malibu, which you could have been like, this is pretty awesome.
You could have stayed there for a long
time. You know, but you were like, no, there's something else. And then you later on, you're like, nope, there's something else. Oh, I think that someone like you and someone who has given that a voice is continually going to be following that. And you don't even know what it is. Like, you have no idea in the next 10 years where this is going to lead you.
Correct. And I'm totally cool with that. Like, I love that, because I always say to myself, and in the process of discovering, you got to find joy. And that's not always easy, but I always talk to my athletes, embrace the process. I was talking to my sons today, both of them. Embrace the process. Embrace the suck, because there's some things that sometimes are sucky, but you got to learn to embrace the suck. You don't know if it's going to be 3 months or 3 years, but you got to make that's called life. And I look at my life now at the halfway mark, and I'm like, man, you know, I just knew after 20, almost 4 years of doing what I was doing at the gym, I did not want to live the next 10 doing exactly what I was doing. And as I did my own soul searching, I knew that my vision had expanded, and that's called life. Like, life is living, and I'm okay. I was like, I'm okay with failing versus just being successful in what I'm doing. I'd rather live life and fail to the next step than just keep doing what I'm doing and, quote, be successful. I want to take that chance. For me personally, and this isn't for everyone, like, I live by this thing, like, someday when I'm judged, I want to know that the big man up top's like, well done, good and faithful servant. You tapped into your potential, because I haven't felt like I have yet tapped into my full potential and delivered what I believe I'm supposed to deliver. I'm not exactly sure all that's supposed to be. I just know what I was doing wasn't my full capacity.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. And not the outside world, be like, wow, that's – no. Only I or you know what's inside of you, right? So for me, I was like, I want to go deeper. I want to make more impact. I want to go do these things, not because I ego-wise, but I feel like I'm being called to do it, and I believe that's why I was broken for a lot of reasons to get me to the point where I wasn't such a knucklehead and just kept doing what I was doing. It's like, okay, you ain't going to listen because you've been saying this for 5 years? All right, I'll break you.
So do you intimidate a lot of people, you think?
What do you mean?
So because you do feel like you're called to something bigger and bigger and bigger, are some people like, wow, that's too much? Like, why aren't you happy with where you are at?
I don't know. I don't know if I intimidate people like that. Like, I'm physically intimidate people. But I don't really think about it like, am I intimidating them or am I scaring them with their dreams? Because I just see too many people that don't live their dreams. Matter of fact, I was talking to a woman the other day. She doesn't even dream. She forgot how to dream.
Oh,
like,
oh.
What do you mean? I don't dream anymore. I haven't dreamt in years. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, that's crazy to me. Like, people that aren't living to the point where, like, I want to live my dream. I don't care what your dream is.
Something
like,
else out
vacation,
there.
Or I want to get a second home, or I want to write a book, or I want to do, like, whatever it is. Like, you got to have something that you're working towards to keep you alive on the inside. I want to give back. And I want to serve, you know, the homeless. Whatever the dream is, I want to create a business. Whatever that is, I'm like, so no, I don't think about it like that. Or frankly, at this point, I guess as you get a little bit more game under the skin is I'm not concerned as much now. Like if people think like I'm crazy, that's okay. Like I'm talking to two
fit crazy. Right?
Like that's okay. But because it ultimately comes down to like, listen, as a coach, I tell my athletes all the time, and I work with some of the best athletes in the world. I'm always like, we're going to push to a level that only you know if you gave your best. Right. No one else knows. Only you know. I don't care what the scorecard says. I don't care what the stat sheet says. Only you know what you did. Only knew. Now, I got a guy right now. He's a quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. He's about to sign a massive deal in the next couple weeks for training camp. I'm like, bro, you need to go out and earn that money because only you know if you're giving everything every day. If you're out partying and doing stupid stuff, you ain't doing the right thing, and only you know it. You can get away with it, but sooner or later it's going to get you, and you're going to know that, man, I wonder what if I did that and I worked a little bit harder. I took care of myself with the recovery stuff better, or I had my mindset. I wasn't drinking. Like, that's the way I look at it now. It's like, for me, it's almost like self-actualization. Like, I want to see how good can I be. Not like good, like successful, but like how can I evolve myself to a level physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually that I can go so deep to impact, well, for me, it used to be 10 million. I could even understand that word, that number you said. I liked it, though.
Made it up because it should be infinity, right? Like, you should never put a number. That don't finite yourself at 100 million,
that's
okay?
That's what I stopped. That's what I know. That's what I put in the book. You already read the book.
I did.
You're an overachiever.
Chazillion. She did. Not only did she read the book, but she's
got notes. She's got notes.
Only been out like 3 days. And she's already crushed it.
Stop.
But
yeah.
Let me tell you, Todd, everybody's leaving something on the table, and everybody knows it. I think, well, for the most part, people, that maybe the woman who doesn't dream anymore doesn't know it anymore. You know, but for the most part, we all want something more. We all know that we can give a little bit more when the training is going the way it is. You know, I think that at the end of a race for me, or, you know, even you, Christine, would say, I did very well. I can do better. Mm. I can get more out of this. I know I can now. Look, sometimes we fight that age thing and all the stuff, and it's maybe not, but we're pretty, can be pretty good for where we are now. And I just think that, like, what you're saying is just, it's very honorable, right? Because you're going through it, and you know there's something bigger out there. When Christine came to me after she quit teaching school.
I retired.
She retired. I didn't know what she was doing. She didn't know what she was doing, but we just said, go with it. Go with it. Just figure out that it's take the next right step, right? Next right thing, and next right thing's going to happen. And that's all you can do. You know, be a good listener and make good choices. Those are the two rules in my house, right? You be a good listener and you make good choices. You know, I think that you can probably get something out of this. Yeah. And listening to who? Listening to what? You know, in your case, you've got, you know, true faith. You've got true strength in your faith. And I think that, you know, that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's where you are able to say, there's something more. There's something more.
Yeah, and more to me is more fulfillment, more fun, you know, more philanthropy, more giving back, more joy, more happiness. It's not more money. It's not more accolades or awards, things like that.
Yeah.
Cool. Like, we all get them, right? If you're around long enough, you get that stuff. But to me, it's like, how do you live the next 25 years in just pure joy with your family, what you're doing, giving back, and feeling like, man, I'm maximizing my gifts? Because what I've realized, and you said it, Brian, is some of the toughest times for athletes are right after the biggest wins, the Super Bowl win. I've been around Super Bowl champions. I was around LaDainian in 2006 when he won the MVP. Some of the most depressing times are after you run the marathon, after you train your tail off for a year and you have a great season, and then all of a sudden the season's over. You're like, what's next? It's like, oh my gosh, it's this. I'm not happy with where I'm at. So to me, it's how do you find the joy in that process of going through the unknown?
Right.
And for 3.5 years, I went through a lot of stuff, a lot of different stuff. And in some ways, as uncomfortable as it was, because I always knew what I was doing, where I was going, this is the first time I was dealing with severe back pain that limited me. To a point where I couldn't work out, and it shut down a lot of what I was able to do.
How'd you get out of that?
Okay, so here's the deal. You cannot give away the book.
Because don't want you to give away the book.
We don't want to give away too much stuff.
You've mentioned the pain.
But this is one of the hardest things I've ever told you to do. Or you probably heard. in like a few minutes. Give us like a few minutes. Here's some of the pain things, but you have to read the book. Go.
Man, I will say this. I'll just highlight a macro some yes. of the things that happened. Besides, everyone went through the craziness of the pandemic and all that stuff that was hard on everyone, especially gyms who were shut down, like myself, and I felt responsible to try to get these gyms back open. Even though they weren't always my gyms, but I coach a lot of the coaches. So that was one of them. Then I had a significant death threat based on one of my athletes who was threatened in the middle of the pandemic and all the different movements going on, and me voicing my opinion on something where I have a friend who's a high-ranking officer who did the check. It was like a significant check of, I don't know if you ever had your life like a death threat, but when you start saying, oh, that you, like, this is a significant story. Well, I had a book signing that next week, and I had to have two armed people with me because they thought that I might get shot. I'm like, oh, wait a second. I just wrote my book. Get your mind right. I'm signing. There's 60 people with masks on and a line to sign my book. And I never enjoyed the process. The whole time I'm looking, people under masks thinking, who's the one? Who's the one in there? So I got two unarmed, they're armed, but undercover with guns. And I'm just checking people out like,
man, this fitness stuff.
Right, fitness stuff.
Fitness stuff.
I didn't say anything. I couldn't say anything like all the death threats. Like, people don't know. The stress you when defending a friend who did nothing wrong because I won't even go there.
Right.
So there's that going on. And then my body starts giving out 6 months into the pandemic. And my wife's like, this is the perfect time to get your other knee replaced because I had already had a knee replacement. So truthfully, I got my second knee replacement, my other knee replaced in December of 2020 because, frankly, I needed a break. And this is screwed up thinking, but I'm like, well, if I have my knee surgery, I got to force 6 weeks down. Like, it's a great way to say, hey, listen, if you're like, hey, I'm having my knee replaced, I'm going to be off for 6 weeks. People are like, oh, no problem.
Yeah.
If I'm like, hey, guys, I'm going on a 6 week vacation, people are like, wait, what?
Yeah, yeah, no.
So I'm like, I'm not saying I got my replacement because of that, but I needed one. And I was like,
all right.
Thank God. Can we get one now? Because it was a forced sabbatical, right? Where I'm doing that. And then 6 weeks, then I ended up deciding I'm going to sell my business because I was in a bad place physically, mentally, empty, burnt out beyond you could imagine. And then 6 weeks after my knee, my back, early 2021, my back goes out. And like when I say my back went out, I've never felt pain like this. I felt like there was a steak knife in my spine and to the point where I was incapacitated. I couldn't function. I couldn't work out. I couldn't sleep. I could only sleep on my left side, fetal position, knee between a pillow between my knees, and it lasted for a year. And there were some really, really dark times in there. I share in the story, like, I didn't think when the doctor told me I needed a 14-hour surgery, I didn't know if I wanted to go through it.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it was a very emotional time. So that was 9 months of that in 2021. And my back pain eventually went away. I didn't have surgery. To this day, I haven't had my surgery. I'm pain.
It's crazy that I'm like, wait. I'm looking for your picture that you put in the book. That I was like, what in the what in the mother of?
Yeah, that's not. It's not good.
There it is.
It's not good. Like,
you don't look at it.
I know what it looks like.
You're not seeing it right now.
So the book, the back goes out, and I spent a lot of dark times in pain. And then what happened is between all of those changes going on and the back pain and everything else, at the same time, my mind was like really just – it was like I felt I was fuzzy and foggy and I couldn't think like I normally think. And normally I'm quick and I can think deep and I can dream big and I felt cloudy. And my wife starts thinking, you got CTE because I've had multiple concussions from football. She's like, this is just her and I talk. She's like, we got to get checked. We have to have you checked. Interesting enough, I just started training a former NFL All-Pro player, 10 years my senior, with advanced CTE. He can't find the water fountain in the gym. I got to tell him every time. I'm like, is this God like foreshadowing to me that like that's going to be me in a few years? So we have it all scheduled to go to see Dr. Amen, who's the world's foremost expert in brain health. And I'm kind of excited. Like, I'm going to find out if I got stuff going on. And because between my physical pain, when you're not working out, you can't exercise because my back was so bad. I couldn't lie on my back. I couldn't lie on my stomach. I couldn't lie on my right side. I'm in a bad place. And I'm training people with a back brace and popping some pills because – that's what fitness stuff people do, right?
Yeah, you got to.
Like, stupid. But anyway, that's what I do. That's what I did. And so we're 4 days away from going to see Dr. Amen. I had a conference I was supposed to go in 2022. And end of 2022, the year of fog. And all of a sudden, I meet this doctor there. And I'd already seen seven doctors. And part of this conference was like, you have to do it's a very small, high-end, intimate. There were six entrepreneurs there. One of them was this doctor. His name is Gabrielle Lyon. And Gabrielle says, I read your analysis because we all shared with each other. And I was real in this thing. She goes, I know who you are. She goes, all that stuff is cool, but how? She goes, what size neck do you have? I'm like, size neck. I'm like 17 and a half. She looks at my ears. I'm like, why is she looking at my ears? She goes, stick out your tongue. I stick out my tongue. I'm like, what's going on here? She goes, you snore. I'm like, yeah, I snore. She goes, has your wife ever told you stop breathing in the middle of the night? I'm like, actually she has.
Yeah.
But I always poo-poo and say, oh, honey, I'm just being polite. I'm just being calm. She goes, no. You have sleep apnea. I'm like, sleep apnea? Like, that's old guys, right?
Right.
Like, overweight old guys.
Not necessarily.
Goes, no. I have a lot of patients who are Navy SEALs, thick necks, like wrestlers and football players, and they have sleep apnea. You have it. I guarantee it. Go back and get checked. So the reason I share all this is because this is the kind of the ending of the 3.5 years. I went back to San Diego. I got checked. And lo and behold, amongst all of this, the pandemic, the death threats, selling the business, the back, the fog, I find out that I have advanced sleep apnea. I'm like, what the heck does that mean? Like, what is sleep apnea?
Right.
The doc's like, well, in the night that we tested you, you stopped breathing 120 times for 20 to 52 seconds per episode. I'm like, wait, I only slept 6 hours and 10 minutes that night. I'm like, 120 times for 20 to 52 seconds. I even know I can hold my breath for 52 seconds.
Right.
And every time you stop breathing, your oxygen levels went down to 75 to 79. I'm like, wait. He goes, so the reason why when you tell me you wake up and you're exhausted and the first thing you think about is you can't wait to go back to sleep, the reason you feel that way is because you have sleep apnea. I'm like, oh my God. If this is the answer, I'm cured.
Yeah.
I'm cured. I'm somewhat relieved. Before Idea World 2023, right before you go on stage and get your award, that day was the first night I wore that CPAP machine. I got in the car in San Diego after a night's sleep, and I said to myself in a little different language, I said, holy shoot. I feel like me again. I haven't felt like me in a decade. I felt unbelievable. I felt this energy that I haven't felt in years, that I felt like, oh my gosh, I slept last night because the CPAP machine is the way you treat sleep apnea. I had only worn it one night, and I swear I felt so amazing. I'm like, I felt this relief. That was May of 2020. That was June of 2023, I think it was. June of 2023 when I demarked that day as the end of 3.5 years of hell, because everything I was going through was real. But on top of all of it, I wasn't sleeping because I had sleep apnea. So I never could recover. So I, the knee pain, the surgeries, two surgeries, because one the thing go right there to clean it up. Back pains, the pandemic, the death threats, everything. And I wasn't sleeping. I'm like, we preach all the time.
Right.
We gotta sleep. I'm out there preaching. Guys, he or she who has her health has 1,000 dreams. He or she doesn't has yeah. one. Get your health back. You gotta sleep. I didn't know I had apnea. I didn't know I had sleep apnea. How would you know unless you get tested? And I didn't think I was a candidate for sleep apnea. And when I found out I did, I was like, oh, my God. I was actually relieved that I had it, because I was like,
yeah, no, there's finally, an answer.
It was like, there's the answer.
Yeah.
All of that stuff is real. Everything that happens is real. If I didn't have apnea, it'd be hard. But now it made sense why I was so exhausted. Like, peel me off the street. I'm done. I'm moving to Montana. We're building a place now, because I was already in my, like, I was going to Montana and I was checking out. Like, I was done. I couldn't go anymore. But I wasn't, on top of everything, I wasn't sleeping. So when I found out I had the sleep apnea, now I don't travel without my CPAP machine. I'm an advocate of that thing. Like, man, you could say get all the sleep in the world you want. You can journal. I created my impact journal so you could journal at night so you can sleep better. Doesn't matter. If you have apnea, you need to get treatment, period. And whether you get the Inspire surgery or you get a CPAP, you will not find relief with anything if you don't sleep. That was the end. That was kind of like the full blown through hell. And why? For me, because experiencing all of that taught me a lot of lessons, which I share in the book, because in each chapter there's three body, mind, and soul boxes that are kind of like how I was going through the mindset in these different phases of life, knowing that for 3.5 years I didn't know the answer. I didn't know where I was going. It was just like, I have no idea. I'm along for the journey. And instead of fighting pain, and I've always said this, and I really did follow it, is don't fight pain, embrace the pain. I didn't fight it. Like, it's hard as a guy not to fight pain, but I learned it the first time through is to embrace it, like learn from it. Pain is a wonderful teacher. It's a really wonderful teacher. Most of our lessons come from loss or pain.
Mm-hmm.
When you lose a match, you lose a game, and you all of a sudden your training gets tighter, your mindset gets stronger. But sometimes you feel pain and you get broken. Like, I was broken. I was broken on every level except my faith. My spiritual life got stronger. The people around me, I just happened to train some pretty awesome pastors, and my faith walk got deeper and deeper and deeper, because I believe it's part of my plan, or the plan to get me to where I'm supposed to go. And that's what I love about True Strength. It not only shares the story I went through, but it inspires people that are going through either a challenging time or will go through a challenging time on lessons they can remember. So when you're going through that tough, difficult time of your life, is all part of a master plan. It's all part of a plan. Don't fight it. Embrace it.
Little, almost a grieving process. That's what I think of it. You know, you go through all these things, and yeah. And what step of that process are you on? So I'm so excited for you to have this new book, this new way that you can bring yourself to the world. And I know when I was reading it, you know, like, there's a lot of points where I think the best books are where you can really put your own life into it and think, how did I handle this?
Yep.
And how did you handle this? And, you know, you're not out there telling us this, you have to do this and you have to do that. And this is, and I have all the answers. It's, here's what I went through.
Yeah.
And I think it's really powerful for those of us that, you know, we try and be everything to everyone all the time and
100%.
Beyond. And really, you know, it's maybe it's just the fact that we have a little bit more understanding of who we are, and that
Absolutely.
We have embraced the pain.
Yeah.
And again, like, you know, I'm saying, like, physical pain, mental pain, the loss of people, right, in our lives, the
Big
loss
time.
Of, you know, work with people who have, you know, lost a leg or, you know, whatever that may be. it's, where are we at? Are we going to do this? Are we going to move forward? Or are we going to use that as a crutch? And I'm honored to know you, honored to call you a friend, my fellow Brick, you know.
Yeah, baby.
Brick Todd Durkin.
I love coming to talk to you guys.
Out to change the world, our lighthouse, right?
Yes, cover the lighthouse book, on everybody. The cover.
Well, that's the whole full circle. That's the whole thing is, like, I didn't anticipate that was May of 23, and all of a sudden, all these things, like, you know, the book. I wasn't planning on writing a book a year ago, certainly. I was trying to figure out my own stuff. That's why it's a memoir, right? It's your story and applying to other people's lives. And then, obviously, we got the Impact Summit next month in July, which is not just for Fit Pros, which I'm really excited about. Like, I've been serving more and more audiences that aren't just Fit Pros. Love Fit Pros. That's my DNA. That's my divine uniqueness is coaching. But I love serving all people. What I realize is my pain isn't everyone's pain, but it's pain. Whether it's relational pain, someone's going through a tough time or has been through a divorce, financial pain, there's people that have been through bankruptcies or challenge. Like, pain is pain, whether it's physical, mental, relational, emotional, spiritual, you know, whatever it may be. So everyone's got their own stories, and how do you use that pain to manipulate? Because for me now, all the way up until, you know, we launched the franchise just a month ago, I announced through all this 9 months of craziness of now I'm going deeper into fitness than I ever have. Like, deeper in the sense of my vision is that there are going to be lighthouses. That's why you said when you did lighthouses all across the country of I'm going to the lighthouse. I'm going to get the light because in a world of darkness, there's going to be light. There needs to be light. And a lot of Fit Pros bring the light. And I know many of them, and I love seeing what they bring. And this, to me, is a really exciting time. And I believe the 3.5 years was a setup for what's next. Speaking of what's next, like, that's the next iteration and season of my life is to serve and mentor coaches and Fit Pros and entrepreneurs who want to go be a lighthouse.
Love it, because lighthouses don't go chasing the boats harbor. They stand there and shine.
I love that. I just love it.
So awesome. There's just so much. There's so much we can keep going and unpacking. And I love the last couple of things I would say is that with this book, I know even for myself personally, you know, you had some things that you were told, this is going to happen and you're going to have to do this. You're going to have the surgery. And for me, it was like, you have this disease and you are not going to be able to do all these things. And it can be either a death sentence for people, or it can be that fuel that says,
the gift.
Not me. Oh, no. Oh, no. We're not going out without a fight.
Yep.
And I think some of those things you need to remind yourself that we all have those diagnosis, or there's doctor's moments, or whatever happens in your life. And I think I loved reading the book, and I love the fact that Todd was like, oh, I felt better at ID. And I was like, oh my God, that's what, like, we saw each other there. And I remember as I was reading the book, you mentioned it, I remembered you saying, oh my gosh, I just had the best night's sleep of my life. I like, not realizing, you know, how dark that was before, and being able to see you, and now realizing how important, how impactful that was, right?
I was in the crowd that night,
that day,
and I was maybe two rows behind you and across the aisle, and I was keeping an eye on you. Obviously, you're in front of me, and Christine is on the other side of you on the stage, but I loved your reaction to the New Jersey stuff, the Brick New Jersey stuff, and you just being a fan, right? Like, you were there and you were, you know, you and all your passion, and Billy Blanks is there, and like La La Lane is there, and like, everybody's partying, right? And it was just like good. So like, when you said that, I'm like, holy shit, I have a memory of you on that day. And it was you being you, being excited for Christine, right? You know, like, sometimes like, we get that passion and like, we like, you know, we're happy when other people are successful, and like,
it was like,
look at this dude, he's partying too, because, you know, we were all happy for Christine. And now that, you know, we know that that was a momentous
a big
day
moment
in your
for
life.
You. Like, and that's, we're was, so it, happy for you.
It was awesome, because that's in this world of fitness, that's what makes our my soul sing, your soul sings.
Totally.
Right? Like that's what you get excited for. And a month before that, I wasn't going to go to IDEA. I had taken a few years off from IDEA. I didn't know the state they were in. Mm-hmm. And Amy Thompson had asked me to come up and just kind of be a fan or an observer of all of it. And I got to tell you, it was great to be up there just to Christine, see you get your award and to be in that room with soulful people, people who love what they do, make the world go round. It just was serendipitous or not. It was just the same night I had slept and felt like, oh my God, I haven't felt like this in a decade. And all of this is happening. I'm like, all right, we're going to be okay in this industry. It's going to be okay. Time always heals. Time heals. Right, like time. Sometimes it's hard to go through a 6 month rough patch or a year or three or five, but time always heals. I studied Winston Churchill a lot during this time. What I didn't realize, Winston Churchill, before he was Winston Churchill as mm-hmm. we all know him, he took a decade off of his life. A mm-hmm. decade. A decade meaning he went to the garden in his second home and took his hands in the soil and worked with his hands and wasn't in politics and he was burnt out. He was exhausted of everything. And I was studying him because I'm like, I never knew that. So when I studied him, I'm like, okay, I need to slow down and get ready because when I come out of this thing, I'm sprinting. I'm going. I'm going. And we all know what Winston Churchill, that he came out and became the Winston Churchill, the great leader that we know him as and saved the world from Nazi Germany and everything else. And I looked at that as a very inspirational time, thinking, it's okay, just bask in this period of pain. It's okay. Time's going to heal. And I realized that, and I did. And now on the other side, it's great to be on the other side, I'll tell you that much. We all want more mountaintop moments and more crests of the wave. We don't like sitting in the valley, but we all know that's when the fruit is ripened too, when it's all in the valley and then it's raining down there, it's dark down there. That's when you really get on fire to take off.
And I'm okay. I think I'm okay. Like, I'm definitely going to fall on my face and get punched in the stomach much more 100%. In my life. And I'm cool. Bring it on.
Yeah.
Bring it on, because it's only going to make us stronger. There it is.
You know,
and good stories. Good stories.
They make good stories. They
really good stories.
Look, it's our experiences, right? And that's what it is. You know, you keep saying pain and pain and pain and pain, and I feel you, man, because we've all, you know, we've been there in some phase of pain and recovery or you know, anything. But, like, those are our experiences.
Yeah.
And you're sharing your experience that you had with other people, and they can either relate with it, you know, either relate to it or, you know, learn from it. And that's yeah. that's the beauty of it, you know.
Yep.
The experience of what we are going through is going to be helpful because you ain't the only one, man.
Yeah.
You know,
no, that's,
you know,
that's
what I'm saying. Yeah, you know, like you're a unique dude, but we're not that unique. We're just human.
Yep.
And my experiences can help somebody else, and yours are going to help a lot of yeah. people with
and
this
what
book.
What I say is, with all of that and whatever that walk you're in is, and I share this in the book, is gratitude always wins.
Mm.
I remember fighting for gratitude. Like, I wasn't grateful for there were some times I wasn't grateful. I had to write in my journal the same thing. I got a roof over my head and food in the refrigerator. Like, I wrote that in my darn journal because there was, beside a roof over my head and I had a family, like, there wasn't a lot else I was grateful. Like, it was so simple. Sometimes you got to fight for gratitude. It wasn't like I was killing it at work or I was killing all this stuff. It was like simplified. You got to fight for your gratitude. But in the good times and the bad, there's always things you're grateful for. We were talking before we went on air is a pastor friend of mine, Miles McPherson, always says, someone's always got it way worse than you, so stop complaining. I said to myself many times, someone's got it worse than me. My man Joe Pangelino right now has got stage 4 lung cancer. Like, I don't have that. It could be worse. It could be worse. It could be worse. Someone's got it worse than you. And, you know, after a while, you're like, they do, but I still feel bad.
Yeah.
It's okay to feel bad. It's okay. We always want to feel like we're at the top of the mountain. We're all okay. It's okay sometimes not to feel like yourself. And I realized that, and I journaled more than I ever have journaled, and I'm a big journaler. I like to write. I look back, and I share one of my journal entries in here. scary. It's mm-hmm. scary, some of the stuff that came out. And I only shared one of them, but there was some stuff I was writing like, ooh, man, I wouldn't want to go back to that place, but I was fighting for gratitude. I was fighting for gratitude. Anyone, wherever you're at, a high or a low right now, fight for gratitude and write it down. If you're at a season right now of your life where you're at a high, write down how grateful mm-hmm. you are that the sun is shining and there's rainbows and, you know, there's things flowing. Like, this is a good time. Be grateful for that, because there might be a season where you're in a valley.
Mm-hmm.
You got to fight for gratitude in the valley too, because if you can live in gratitude, it kind of takes the onus off that we got to control everything that happens to us, right? Because things happen. Like, yeah. A lot of this happened, and, you know, I couldn't control it. We can't always control the outcomes, but we can control how we react to them. And journaling for me was a really important part of this process, and fighting for that gratitude, because coming from a place of gratitude is different than constantly fighting and creating more anxiety and more, not to get, you know, physiological and that, but we're, you know, we're not living on just pure adrenaline and draining our adrenals of the things, because I knew they were already completely shot anyway. I had nothing there. But it's gratitude, man. Gratitude.
I love it.
Grateful for the time.
I love it. You heard me when I came back from Africa, when I went mm-hmm. over there to train those kids. And, yeah. and I came back, and I was in Sierra Leone. It was the fourth, fifth poorest country in the world. Mm. And they have nothing. And their currency is love and gratitude.
Yep.
And they are not short on that. And I've said it. I mm-hmm. said, you know, people that have everything appreciate nothing, and people that have nothing appreciate everything. And our friendship mm-hmm. was more important to them than anything. Yep. They were grateful for that. And, you know, I came back, and, you know, my kids who have everything, and they were like, I want a new Xbox game. I said, not right now. You can't have that. Mm-hmm. But, and that's it. It's gratitude. And strip away everything. Take away everything. Take away money. Take away housing. Take away everything. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I saw it, man. It was yeah. nothing. It's bad. But, you know, what do you got? And they were not poor people, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. they had it big time. And I learned a lot from that, and you know, and look, people are going to learn a lot from this. You happy you wrote this book?
Am I happy?
Are you happy that you wrote this book?
You know, I'll tell you when I'll be happy, and this just came out, right? What really will make me happy is the stories I see or hear of that it saved someone's life.
Yeah,
that will fill me up.
Amen.
Because I don't want my pain to go to waste. Like, right? Like, I'm hoping that. The happiest I will be is when someone says, and I've already got some folks who are hitting me up again. This book just came out. You know, books are like babies. They're born. It's not like a 6 month thing. These things live for
yeah.
a long time. But my hope is that it saves a lot of lives, and we raise a lot of money so that we can give it all back to some of these organizations. You know, suicide survivors and a lot of the mental health initiatives we're behind. There's some people who are hurting that need help, and that's what I'm excited about. Like, that'll make me happy. I'm not happy just to, like, share my story, because, like, there's not a lot of happiness in my story.
Right, right, right.
Right? But the story is a happy one because of the perspective that all of our stories you go through for a reason to get to the other side. And that's why I say, you know, your biggest burdens become your biggest blessings. Like, for me, this 3.5 years of hell has become really a happy time now. I'm so excited for the future, what's about to come, what's hitting now as we speak, and realizing that, man, life has its ups and downs. It has its peaks and its valleys. It has its waves and its depths. And that's called life. And I'm really, really excited for what's about to come, because I believe, regardless of what someone does out there in that world, there's so much darkness and so much hatred and bigotry and stuff that's just not good. It's like, man, the world needs more love.
Mm-hmm.
The world needs light. More leadership. Leadership, light, and love. And I don't know where I fit into it. I just know that I'm feeling best when I'm serving. And in this particular instance, I'm serving from a place of pain has become my purpose. And that's how I'm leading in this right now and leaning in of, like, I'm a real dude that just, well, it's the truth because, again, I lost two kids to suicide. Like, those are lives. There's people every day popping themselves. And we don't even realize our words, your words on this show, every time there's someone listening whose son or daughter or kid, grandkid, they're struggling right now. Heck, I got teenage kids, right? We got kids. Like, it's hard. It is hard for these kids with social media and everything that we do and they live in them and they haven't even formed their identity yet. I don't know. I hope that there's just more light, more love, more leadership out there that can give people the inspiration to keep going, to dream. Like, you know, we talked about even beforehand is dreaming and getting there again. Because to me, that's what makes me happy is when I get that DM or I get that text or that message somehow of like, hey, you have no idea of what your words on that show meant. And they start following, they start doing stuff. And next thing you know, you've impacted someone to a level that they can never have anticipated. That's what makes me happy.
That's it.
Thanks for taking your time out of your time at the Jersey
your vacation,
Shore. Because this, nothing your in face the world plant. Is, you know.
This makes me happy. This is what I love to do.
Well, we appreciate it. And I just want to let you know that we're super proud of you. And we super appreciate you and your time. And, you know, nothing's more valuable in this world. You can never get it back.
Truth.
But you spent some time with us today. And yeah. I need you to tell everybody, where are they getting True Strength?
Sell some books
Let's do this.
Amazon. Go to Amazon. Okay. Amazon is the best way right now. If you go to Amazon, you'll get True Strength. Just search it up, True Strength, Todd Durkin. And you'll get that and read it and share it. I think the best thing you could do is share it. Certainly, you know, tag me in any shares you have on social media. And Christine and Brian, tag them as well. I'm sure they'll put in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
Get the book. And even if you're not, you know, you could be in a good place in life. I think there's a lot of lessons like, no, I'm not in a bad place. You don't need to be in a bad place to read this book. The book is about a memoir of anything you go through, how you can use them to get through the toughest of times. I think, that, again, the most dangerous time to anyone is right after success.
Yeah,
it's when you're successful, or you just had a big success, dangerous territory. And I lived that for a long time. And the athletes I work with is you got to keep them sharp. You got to keep sharpening. It's easy to become a fat cat, or you get a little complacent. You let the foot off the pedal a little bit. You get a little weak with your, you don't show up at the workouts as much as you used to. It's only two times a week instead of four. You start eating like garbage. Like,
start talking, I'm going to do this next. I'm going to do this next. Yeah, you better.
You got to stay dialed in.
And from a coaching perspective, that's the scary spot for us too. I'm always like, all right, this kid's just had a monster season.
I got a serious question though.
Yeah.
From Jersey. How in Jersey do you eat good around here? I mean, you got darn crumb cake, subs, pizza. I'm like, thank God I don't live here anymore. I love it here. But it's great for vacation. I'm like, I just don't know. It's too good. The food is too good.
I eat all the vegetables and fruits. All of them. But I also eat a lot of iced coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Okay.
So when you come home, it's a little bit different, right? Yeah. It is right. Because like I used to come home from Tempe, Arizona, and I was going down. I was going to – but – if you put me in San Diego right now, you should see the size of the burrito I'm going to eat, man. Right? And all them
fish tacos.
You know, like, look, yeah. I'm going to go find those old haunts, too.
That's
so
right. That's
cuisine's cuisine,
see?
Man.
That's a good point. The mentality is, okay, I'm only here for a week.
Yeah.
This Mueller's crumb cake.
Right.
So they're good. Killing
I don't
me.
Even go to Mueller's anymore.
They're killing me.
But, yeah, it's
I
so good.
I drive by, and it speaks to me. It's like, hey, yoo-hoo.
My mother-in-law is the sweetest Italian woman, and she loves her grandkids, and she'll go out and get, you know, a Mueller's crumb cake the size of a boogie board and lay it on my kitchen counter. And you know how it works, too. You leave that knife in the box, right? The knife stays in the box till the box is done because you just cut off pieces and eat it. It's delicious.
I love being home.
Right? You get some pizza. You maybe get a good sandwich for yourself.
The thing is, you know, being from California, We went to the pizza shop the other day, and my wife went in there and said, "Do you have gluten-free pizza?"
Oh, my gosh.
The guy looked at her like she was from California.
Yeah.
And she was.
She asked for a pineapple on top of it.
Like, how do you fit in San Diego?
I don't know.
Because I do not fit in San Diego.
They're like, you out.
Well, that's probably why I can I stand out because I don't.
It's not so bad out there in San Diego, man. I'm too much for San Diego. I almost made a left. I made a right to get back to the East Coast. I almost made the left to end up in Pacific Beach. I did. I almost did. And I told my now wife, I was like, they got teaching jobs there too. You can get one of those. And I've got some family. My cousin actually lives in Scripps Ranch.
You didn't have an 87 Volvo that would have got back to the East Coast.
You get stuck there. Look, there's better place. There's worse places to get stuck, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Canton, Ohio's bad.
Football Hall of Fame.
I love San Diego. I love San Diego. But I love Whitefish, Montana right now. We're very actively involved in a project out there. I want to spend more time in Whitefish moving forward, and I will be.
We can podcast from there too, Todd. Anytime.
Would you say retreat?
In November. We do have a retreat in November, the second week in November. So mark your calendars, you two. Every time I come back here, I come back and I dream again. I'm up on East Avenue. I'm like, I'd love to be bi-coastal.
Well, that's right? It. The snowbirds, you know, right. You can kind of do a little bit of both. Yeah. You know,
I'm just gonna live at retreats. Like, I'll have my own retreats with my women. Nomad. And then jump to Todd's retreat, and then we could make this happen.
We should do it.
Woo. It's like podcast swap.
Yeah.
We do retreat swaps.
Yeah. Fitness stuff.
I love it.
We do all the fitness and mindset stuff.
I love it. All
All the stuff.
I'm not laughing.
I've got a guy in my running club. I've got a global running club, and he doesn't have a home. He just goes around. He's based in Europe, so it's easier to get around there. But he hops trains, and this guy's running all the marathons almost every weekend. He's out there doing, and he's a chilled out guy named Lionel. And he went to do Comrades in South Africa most recently, and then he'll come back and he'll spend some time in Spain because that's where he's kind of home base. Oh. And he's just moving around, man. He's a nomad.
Wow,
it's awesome.
Wow,
super tramp.
Yeah,
there it is.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
This is a good life.
All right.
He seems happy.
Good life.
Aside from, this is the last thing, ready? Aside from Amazon to get your book, All About You, website. Just say it.
TyDurkin.com.
There it is.
TyDurkin.com.
There it is.
TyDurkin.com.
Are you Googleable?
Google-ish.
I'm not sure. I haven't Googled it in a while.
Now you are. Yeah. And I think so. You may come up on the first couple pages.
Pretty much everything is Googleable now.
You got to come up in the first it's got to be like first or second, you know. I hope you're up there.
I haven't been Googleable lately. But yes, I'm sure. I'm sure you can Google it. But
True Strength. How's that? That's something else to look up.
Love IG. I'm on IG. It's just my name, Todd Durkin, and Todd Durkin website, ToddDurkin.com.
All right. You know what? We have to get out of here because you have a book signing, an event. I know. And you're supposed to be relaxing.
It's like the Blues Brothers. You got to get to the show, man.
I do. You got to go get ready for this event.
You're supposed to be relaxing. Look at me yell at you again. I know.
I said relax,
I'm like going to call your bluff. I don't think you're going to be on Brook Beach 1 tomorrow. Like, I may have to go down there.
You better.
I may have to go down there
and
be like,
find me. I'll be buried under the sand.
He's going to be buried under a Mueller's crumb cake.
Is there a Todd Durkin on this beach?
Oh, man.
Shout out to Mueller's, Bayhead, New Jersey.
Oh, they sponsored the show, right?
They should. I'm going to.
Two Fit Crazy. Sponsored by Mueller's Bakery.
Mueller's Bakery. Especially the crumb cake.
I love it. God. Well, thanks for having me.
All right.
It's been an honor.
Thank you so much for taking the time. I'm going to see you later. So
I love it.
I got my whole family coming down, so I'm like, all of you, it's mandatory.
Introduce you as the fitness stuff girl.
Oh, my
that's
God.
That's right.
She does that fitness stuff?
Fitness stuff.
Yeah, that's every once in a while. All right. Let's get out of here. All right. It is Christine Conley.
And I'm Brian Prendergast.
And we are Two Fit Crazies.
And a microphone.
We are where it's at.
Peace.